Dr. Isabella Wentz is a solution-focused clinical pharmacist who has had a passion for healthcare and is trained in functional medicine. She was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which triggered a personal mission to help heal herself and others with Hashimoto's. She published her New York Times best-selling book, Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back, and is coming out with her new book, Adrenal Transformation Program, a 4-week plan to release stress symptoms and go from surviving to thriving. She helps women identify adrenal triggers, thyroid issues, balance their stress response, and build resilience to prevent excess stress from overwhelming the body.
Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
Thanks so much for joining us, Isabella. We're really excited to talk to you about the thyroid, about adrenal health, because it all has to do so much with PCOS women and what they're struggling with.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Absolutely. And I saw on your Instagram bio, you're a thyroid pharmacist. I'm really curious, like, are you a pharmacist who specializes in the thyroid health? Or I'm just curious what that exactly means.
I was diagnosed with a thyroidition shortly after pharmacy school, and I was never really interested in the thyroid during pharmacy school. But once I got my diagnosis and once I discovered how to take charge of my own health, I was like, I need to share this with the world. So I created a website called Thyroid Pharmacist, and that ended up being kind of my branding, I guess, for lack of a word, to try to get the message out. I was like, what can I call myself? Right. I'm like, thyroid pharmacist. I think actually somebody gave me that idea. I was like, I don't know, how do I get the word out about Hashimoto's and that it can be reversed, right? And I'm a pharmacist, by the way, right?
So it's amazing that you studied pharmacy as well as functional medicine. So you joined the two together essentially when you're helping women.
I did. I went to pharmacy school, and then once while I was in pharmacy school, I was having a lot of symptoms. So it started with irritable bowel syndrome, and I had chronic fatigue, and then I graduated and things just like progressively, I had hair loss. I had carpal tunnel in both arms, that awful, awful brain fog, unrefreshing sleep. And it's just like, it just kept getting more and more symptoms. Every few months I'd be like, oh great, now I have acid reflux. Oh great, now I have this. And I really got into functional medicine because I was trying to feel better. I got the diagnosis of Hashimoto's and I was like, okay, great. I can take a pill for this. Amazing. Yay. Being a pharmacist, right? And then I got on the medications and I was like, well, this helps like a little bit, but I'm kind of disappointed, right? Like this isn't like it. Like I'm still exhausted. I'm still losing my hair. I still got the carpal tunnel. Yes, I'm a little bit less cold and I'm sleeping 11 hours instead of 12, but there's got to be more. And that's where I got into like research and functional medicine and lifestyle medicine. Was like, I was just trying to figure out what I could do to get myself to feel better, maybe reduce my thyroid antibodies, maybe like get rid of all my symptoms. And once I did that, I was able to like help others on their own healing journeys. And it's been 10 years now. And I'm so excited to have been able to like create so many success stories with sharing the things that initially worked for me and now sharing what has worked for my clients as well. And I love how you guys advocate for women, and so amazing to connect with like-minded people.
Thank you. That's amazing too, like 10 years of experience and like now you're putting that experience into helping others. And I'm guessing too, a lot of that is going into your new book about adrenal fatigue as well.
Absolutely. So the last, my focused on Hashimoto's very specifically, and they focused on everything you need to do if you have Hashimoto's, how to get yourself like feeling human again and getting into remission, right? And this last book was really a big opportunity for me. I had been talking about adrenals for such a long time. It's a critical part of what you need to do if you have a thyroid condition. If you have PCOS, right, you need to support your stress response. This is like the path to healing, right? But in the last few years, becoming a new mom, I've realized that some of the things I was recommending weren't accessible to me. So I had previously recommended, you know, you need to get 10 to 12 hours of sleep a night. And that works really well if you don't have kids, right?
Yeah.
And I was saying, give up caffeine. And that works really well for some people too, but not everybody's able to do it. Some people are dependent on the caffeine for energy, and we really need to support their energy levels. And then I would say, like, you can utilize certain hormones, and that's what I was trained in through functional medicine. But some people don't do well with DHEA, right? It overconverts to hormones you don't want. And this is something that is used for adrenals. And so I came across a path to really get somebody to shift out of that survival, stressed out state into more of a relaxed and thriving state in a rather quick way, in just 3 to 4 weeks. And so as soon as my son starts sleeping better, I'm getting this out into the world. And so,
oh my gosh, I want to hear about this path, because women with PCOS, we talk about there are different PCOS types and different driving factors, and adrenal fatigue is one of them, as well as hypothyroid another. So it would be so helpful for women who are listening right now to hear some of the things that have helped you with your adrenal issues.
So definitely adrenal issues are very common in a whole host of conditions, and thyroid issues and PCOS are very common. And there's also like an adrenal driven PCOS that I think I'm sure you guys talk about all the time, where the stress component is critical, right? One of the things, of course, for stress is one of the critical things that we all need to do. If we have thyroid issues, PCOS, stress related issues, we focus on balancing our blood sugar, right? And getting that is like one of the first critical things that's going to help your stress response. It's going to help your PCOS. It's going to help your Hashimoto's. And that's a big focus of my book, is nutrition and sending your body those safety signals of, we have balanced blood sugar, right? This is a huge one. And so we're eating more protein. We're eating more fat. Typically, we're eating less carbohydrates throughout the day. And we're really like connecting with that. I also would recommend something like myo-inositol throughout the program. And sometimes, you know, with combined with D-chiro-inositol can be incredibly helpful as well. And this is one of the core foundations, is like, make sure your blood sugar balanced, right? This is going to be such a, you know, the opposite of stress signals. I can call them safety signals. And so blood sugar balance is one of my big safety signals. The other part, another big safety signal, is replenishing the nutrients that are burned during a stress response. So things like the B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, and electrolytes, these, when we're under stress, we're just going to be super, super depleted in these. And getting those on board for many people, this can help to shift them more into that thriving, relaxed state out of that super stressed state.
I never knew when you're really stressed out, you can lose some of those essential nutrients.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. One of my favorite ways to get magnesium into a person that's very stressed out is utilizing Epsom salt baths. And my husband and I joke, like, we each have like, we have a rule that we each have an Epsom salt bath every evening, and it helps us with, like, you know, it's better than like couples therapy, but we go in, you know, you go in, you're stressed out, you've got body aches, maybe you're anxious, you're, you know, you're typically, you would have insomnia or body aches, and you go into the Epsom salt bath, and then you come out and you're like, I'm relaxed and sleep and nothing hurts anymore. My anxiety's gone. And so this is something, you know, if I have a tough day, my husband will be like, Isabella, you've been in there for like 3 hours. No, definitely like 10 to 15 minutes is what I recommend.
Yeah.
Get that Epsom salt, the warm water. Like, it's just a very soothing, relaxing thing people can do.
Yeah.
Do you do that every night?
Almost every night.
Wow. And how do you make time? Do you like run the bath while you're washing the dishes, and then like, okay, once you're done cleaning up, you can get in the bath?
We take turns. So I will be with our son for the first part of the night, and I'll make some, you know, we'll make his food and I'll feed him. And then my husband will take his bath, and then we'll switch off. And so when I'm taking a bath, my husband will do the cleaning up. And then he'll kind of snuggle with our son at that time. It's tricky because when my son was little, it was so hard to like get away, right?
Yeah.
And he was very much like, Mama, this is your leg. I am wrapped around it the whole day. But the other things I would do and some friends have done is you can put blocks or something for the children to play with in the bathroom. It's not, I will say it's not as relaxing when my son is in the I'm taking my Epsom salt bath, but it sure helps. It even that will do it.
Well, like you said, 15 minutes, it's the hardest part about it is actually carving out or like making that moment for yourself and not just being like, okay, not today. I'm just going to do this or that instead. And I feel like women who struggle with adrenal fatigue are often like putting themselves second. Mm-hmm. And even if you do have 15 minutes, like that's not how you would spend it because you're on survival mode and it's just like your brain doesn't want to prioritize something like that. But I love that you do that every night. And that's so inspiring for me and for listeners because it's just 15 minutes, you know, and it can make that big of a difference in your body's response to stress, your ability to sleep and how you wake up the next day.
Absolutely. And part of what I do recommend is because so many women, when you're in that survival mode, you feel overwhelmed and you have this endless task list and you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm taking care of everybody but myself, right? And this is kind of the path on how you get into that adrenal dysfunction is when you don't have that time for self-care. So one of the things that I have in my book and I've done for women in my program is I'm like, here's your prescription, right? Take this prescription and you need to do things that make you feel good and to do things that you enjoy. Because a lot of times I found that people are not exhausted because they're doing too many things, but they're exhausted because they're doing too many of the wrong things and not the right things that like give them their energy, right?
Yeah.
They like, it's good for everybody for mommy to get her Epsom salt bath, right? Because then mommy's happier and mommy's like, you know, I'll sleep better and then I'll have more energy the next day and I'll be more refreshed and present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have 15 minutes. We're scrolling through our phones probably for 15 minutes before we go to bed. You could have created a 15-minute window for an Epsom salt bath. Yeah.
Did you hear about that sister who took Ovacetol and finally got her period after a year of not having one?
Incredible. I see those kinds of messages on Instagram a lot. How does that even happen?
Well, Ovacetol helps with healing insulin resistance, a common root issue that most PCOS sisters have. And by targeting insulin resistance, we're seeing sisters kick those crazy cravings, finally regulate their periods, ovulate, and improve their egg quality. Each packet of Ovacetol has a 40-to-1 ratio of myo-inositol and D-chiro-inositol. This ratio is similar to the ratio that should be found in the body, but with women like me who have PCOS, this ratio is often imbalanced. So taking Ovacetol can be super effective in treating insulin resistance, starting from the root of the issue.
So awesome. It tastes like nothing, so just warn me when you put it in a cup so I don't drink it.
You got it, boo. Check out the link in the description to get 15% off your order.
So we talked about nutrition, basically managing the blood sugar. We talked about taking some supplements like inositol for the blood sugar as well, and like magnesium to help with the adrenal fatigue. What are some other like tips that you would give in terms of like maybe certain foods to have or avoid or things like that where people can focus on?
Definitely when I focus on nutrition, I really talk about getting off of the common inflammatory foods, so gluten, dairy, soy, as well as in some cases grains, because they can be very, very problematic for people with like intense blood sugar issues. Now, I will say when I started my healing journey, I was grain free, and a lot of times I may recommend that at the beginning of a person's healing journey. Now I'm to the point where I can tolerate a whole lot of foods. So the goal isn't for you to like forever be off of these things. But if you're somebody that's anxious, that has, you know, like these energy fluctuations throughout the day, you're waking up in the middle of the night, right? Like we want to really restore your blood sugar levels. And we want to make sure that you're balanced. And part of that is going to be limiting some of the foods that are going to be turning into sugar in your body, right? And some of that does include grains. I focus on plenty of good fats. One of the things that I really love to recommend for people with this like morning fatigue and adrenal dysfunction is utilizing what I call an adrenal kickstart drink. And we do a half a cup of orange juice. So that's a rich source of vitamin C and glucose, because people do tend to have low blood sugar in the mornings, and vitamin C supports the adrenals. So we do a little bit of that, but we combine it with some protein powder and with some fat like coconut milk, so that you don't get that blood sugar, you know, fast rise and fast crash. So you still have this yummy drink that's kind of wakes you up, and you can add some sea salt and electrolytes to it. And this will support healthy cortisol levels, healthy blood sugar, healthy blood pressure levels throughout in the beginning part of the day. So that's something that's part of the plan, where people do this an adrenal kickstart drink. And they say it tastes like an orange creamsicle, and they do not mind it.
Yeah, that sounds good. Coconut and orange together.
Yeah. And I like how you didn't include like coffee in there, because we know that coffee is a big, of course, for a lot of people who have chronic fatigue, adrenal fatigue, the first drink they go for in the mornings are coffee, which is totally understandable, because we think, okay, caffeine's going to help me get through the day. But I'm sure in your experience, you've seen that it can actually be like a little bit of counterproductive when you're trying to fix some of those issues.
It's tricky with caffeine, because I used to tell people get off of caffeine when they had adrenal fatigue, and they were like, okay, I'll do it. And they were like, well, I'm still exhausted, but now like you took my only source of joy away, right? And I'd be like, oh man. And I've realized that people get, you know, dependent on caffeine, and that's a symptom of that adrenal dysfunction. And so rather than telling people to like, you have to get off of it to heal, what I'm recommending now is like, let's build up your energy levels. And then you may like wean off if you want to, right? And then people kind of accept this. I just try to meet them where they are, because if you're exhausted and like your coffee is like your way to give you more energy, like, you know, let's give you different sources of energy. And so I'll recommend things like, okay, the first few weeks, we're going to step outside first thing in the morning. Getting that morning sunshine light is going to help to increase our cortisol levels naturally. Mm-hmm. Do that adrenal kickstart drink. That's going to help you get that connection with the circadian rhythm too, to let you know that it's like wakey, wakey time. It's the sun is shining. We're time to be awake, right? We don't get that same message from being indoors. Like outdoor light is what gives us that really powerful message of waking up. And then if you can, maybe like move your caffeine a little bit later, right? To allow your body to naturally make cortisol. We do want like a little bit more cortisol in the morning, and we want it to be, you know, kind of on a gradual slide towards the end of the day. The issue becomes with cortisol when we have too much all day, or we have too much, you know, like at the wrong times of the day. So we do need some for staying healthy and keeping our inflammation, blood sugar in check, and all of that. So I'll make these kind of recommendations, and also supporting the health of your mitochondria. A lot of times mitochondria, you know, the abbreviation for the book is ATP, which is energy, right? A molecule made by the mitochondria. And so part of how we can support our energy production is by supporting our mitochondria. And so I utilize things in the program that support mitochondrial health. So that's plenty of fats in our diet, that connection with the circadian rhythm. And then also like the B vitamins, vitamin C, they all support the mitochondria, but I also add in some D ribose for people, and then carnitine, because this can be very helpful for supporting the mitochondria. And people will say like, oh, wow, you know, I'm doing this and my brain fog, this has completely vanished and my fatigue is better. And I do see results when we support the mitochondria. About 92% of people will have less brain fog in just a few weeks, and more than 80%, like 89%, will have less fatigue in just those few weeks.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I haven't heard of I've heard of supporting the mitochondria before, but I haven't heard of those like specific nutrients that help with that. So I'll definitely add that to my regimen.
I love the way that you introduce it in a realistic way to your clients, your patients, because it's like, instead of just saying stop drinking coffee completely, you're kind of supporting them as they wean themselves off of the caffeine. That's really integral, because a lot of people get stuck in certain lifestyles and it's almost impossible to imagine like not drinking coffee. I feel like there's this huge addiction to it because of having low adrenal, low thyroid function. So I think it's great that you do that in a lifestyle way, and you're combining your knowledge of pharmacy, functional medicine, and lifestyle all in one. I know you mentioned about going gluten-free and dairy-free as well for the thyroid and the adrenal gland. And we talk about that a lot for PCOS to help reduce inflammation. I read a study about how every time you eat gluten, if you're sensitive to it, your body attacks the gluten molecule through molecular mimicry. It also attacks your thyroid molecule because it looks the same.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of this. I bet it's in your book. Can you touch on how gluten affects the thyroid and the adrenals?
So absolutely. There's a few different mechanisms where it can do that. And the molecular mimicry one is so important for people with thyroid issues to be aware of, because like you said, there's a cross-reactive protein on the gluten molecule as well as on the thyroid. And the way that the immune system works, I kind of think of it like it just goes around and takes little snapshots of something it wants to attack. And then it kind of gets shown around. And so it's a case of mistaken identity where we eat gluten and we're sensitive to it. Immune system has tagged it as a foreign invader. Then it's also going to be tagging the thyroid gland. And this is something so critical. 88% of the people that I've worked with, and then I did a survey of like a few thousand people around the same stats, they feel better gluten-free when they have Hashimoto's. They are just like, you know, the brain fog gets better, the fatigue gets better, I lose weight, I'm not bloated anymore, my digestive symptoms get better. I personally, 3 days of going gluten-free and dairy-free, my acid reflux and IBS and bloating was gone. Within a few weeks, my carpal tunnel was gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, my stomach doesn't hurt when I eat gluten, right? Or when I eat regular foods that are gluten-free. Oh, I thought your stomach always hurt after you ate. Like, I just didn't know.
Right.
And so people are walking around like that. They don't know what healthy digestion looks like. And in addition to that molecular mimicry part, gluten is a very difficult protein to digest, right? So it takes a lot of our energy and our digestive juices to digest. And when we're stressed out, when we have hypothyroidism, when we're in that state, we're not producing enough hydrochloric acid to properly break down the proteins and digest them. And so just eliminating these difficult to digest proteins a lot of times liberates a lot of our energy. And people are like, okay, my body is not overwhelmed by digestion. And so now I feel better. And then there's the gluten can cause intestinal permeability, intestinal inflammation in people with celiac disease, like one exposure, this can be for weeks or months. In the average person, this could be like minutes, right? If you're not sensitive. And then people that are gluten sensitive are somewhere in between where this intestinal permeability occurs. And then we just don't feel so good. We're having digestive issues. We're having bloating. Some of the things that are not supposed to mix, right, are mixing within our system, you know, and this is something that's very real and very relevant for a lot of people. There are, I just did an article about like all the different ways that gluten can interfere with health. And for some people, it might be, you know, it might be because of like a FODMAP reaction.
Mm.
And because they have certain bacteria in their small intestine that are fermenting that part of what's in wheat. But yeah, it's definitely something that is super, super relevant for people with thyroid issues and people with low energy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even starting to think if I have some sort of a gluten sensitivity, because I've noticed recently that anytime where I go a few days without gluten, I feel good. And the second I add it, like I just have something that's heavy in gluten, like I don't have a good bowel movement. I'll just say that much. And then just like last week, I got my lab test back. Like I do like every 6 months, like a checkup. And like last week, my lab test came back and my TSH was high. And my naturopathic doctor said that you may have like early signs of hypothyroid, which is like, to me, was really shocking because like I haven't felt anything. But ever since I started taking the thyroid medication, not medication, sorry, the thyroid supplements, my energy has been amazing. And I haven't had a sip of coffee. Like I don't want coffee. Like, I wasn't a big coffee drinker for a while, but like, I don't even think about caffeine anymore. I'm just like so energetic just because of the thyroid supplements alone.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
What? Well, I told you, I was like, wow, I don't need any coffee anymore. Like I feel so good.
Wow. You didn't say that.
You don't listen to me.
I listened. I did not hear you say, I don't need coffee anymore. All I hear you say is I want to drink coffee because I like coffee, you know, not even that you need it. Yeah. But, you know, so that's awesome. We are a huge advocate of going gluten and dairy free, as you know. So even for inflammation, the inflammatory response, like you mentioned, and for PCOS women, that is like a huge factor in our symptoms, like a driving factor, the underlying inflammation that every woman with PCOS has that creates, you know, suppression of the thyroid, creates adrenal issues, blood sugar issues that affect ovulation and everything. So this is like one of the major topics of discussion in our community, because a lot of dietitians who aren't aware of current research on gluten and dairy are still like recommending it to women with PCOS. And it really blows my mind, because it's like, we have to keep up with what's going on. You know, our books are very outdated. We all got our licenses like 10 years ago. You know, like, let's get serious about like what is actually happening in the field and like new research. And I love that your book covers this kind of information to help people like learn what's going on and actually help women find a solution to their problems instead of mask them through traditional methods that haven't been working for so long.
I so agree with you. I was very frustrated with what I learned in pharmacy school. There's a lot of amazing things that I learned, but also I learned nothing about lifestyle changes for Hashimoto's or for PCOS or some of these other conditions, chronic health conditions. And so I'm super passionate about getting the word out. And it's been tricky. I will say, when I first started talking about it 10 years ago, and I was on Facebook and people were like, gluten doesn't have anything to do with the thyroid, right? And people were like, oh, you know, where's your research? And me being a big nerd, I would be like, here's a research study. Here's a research study, right?
No one cares.
No one responds. Yeah.
It's too complicated.
Yeah. They're like, okay, whatever, right? This is not what I heard. But like, I do encourage, there was one woman I remember, and she just had multiple autoimmune conditions. And she just was really, really struggling. And she was a scientist and was very skeptical. I was like, you know what? I was skeptical too. And I'm a healthcare professional, but I just decided to give it a try. The worst you can do is you can go back to eating the way you were eating, but like, give it a few days, give it a few weeks, like see what happens. And for me, within 3 days, I was like, I feel so much better off of gluten and dairy. Like, I don't think I ever want to go back, because holy cow, like I have energy and I feel good. And it's just been really game changing. And this lovely woman, you know, she had so many different autoimmune conditions. And she went gluten-free and she's like, holy cow, I feel so much better. I've been tested for celiac and I didn't have it, but I just went gluten-free and like my skin issues are better. My like, you know, alopecia is getting better. My like thyroid is getting better. I have more energy. And I'm like, you can just try it. Like if you're, especially if you've been tested negative or your doctor's not willing to test you, like give it a chance. You only have your symptoms to lose, right?
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
You
That's
only
a good point.
Have your symptoms to lose.
Such a good statement.
I know. It's such an injustice to talk someone out of going gluten and dairy free if they want to try it for their symptoms, because it could be life-changing. And if they don't try it, then for years and years and years, like people just eat gluten and dairy, not knowing that they're sensitive to it, and continue to suffer and just get used to their suffering. And they're like you said, like, isn't it normal to have a stomach ache after you eat? Like you just think that it's part of your life and accept it.
Yeah.
So I think it's great that you're really advocating for a change with your books.
Yeah. And to circle back to adrenal fatigue and stress for a minute, on your Instagram, and for those that don't follow you, her Instagram is Isabella Wentz PharmD. We'll definitely put it in the description as well. But you talk about the four types of chronic stress that affect the adrenals. Could you touch a bit on the four different types? Because again, I'm sure a lot of women with PCOS listening will relate to them.
Thank you so much for asking. So there's like stress that we know about, like psychological stress, right? And so most of us can place that. And it's like you have an annoying boss and they're just like on you, or somebody, you know, is causing you a lot of drama. And that's kind of stress. And we know it. It's present. It's obvious, right? This can set us into that adrenal dysfunction, get us stuck in that chronic stress state if we have too much of it, right? And then we have past stress, like traumatic stress that can occur. And this is something that's very relevant, and people may not be aware of it, but it kind of changes the dial of how we perceive things, right? So if you had a history of trauma, this can really change you. I know I was talking to somebody who was in an unfortunate situation where there was a shooting at a store where she was. And she survived that shooting, but she had trauma from it. So every time she goes into a store, you know, she gets triggered and she's looking around and looking for a way to escape. And sometimes we do that, you know, that's an obvious example, but sometimes we do that in our day-to-day lives because of something that happened when we were children and we don't even really remember what happened, but we're still carrying that traumatic response around with us. So this is very relevant. Then there's physiological trauma or physiological stress. So like, what are we doing in our day-to-day lives? And this could be things like sleeping, skipping meals, not sleeping enough, having a calorie deficit, over-exercising. These are all things that can kind of shift us into that stressed out response. And then we have kind of hidden sources, and this is inflammation in the body. So you're eating inflammatory foods. This could be stress, right? You're exposed to a toxin. This could be stress in your body. You have an infection like H. pylori or something like that. This could also be perceived as stress by your body. And sometimes people's like stress bucket overfills, right? So you might have some of these big things in there and some of the smaller things and coming from all different directions and sources. And all of a sudden you find yourself that you're stuck in this chronic stress response.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
okay. So relatable.
Now I was going to say like how absolutely like cortisol can affect your, or sorry, inflammation can affect your cortisol and that can affect your blood sugar. And now it's like this crazy cycle. And over-exercising too is something we see very often because of a lot of women with PCOS, one of their main symptoms is weight gain and they want to lose that weight gain. And they're told to just exercise as much as possible, focus on calories in, calories out, which I'm sure we all know by now is not the right way to go at it when you're dealing with such a complicated hormonal issue. And over-exercising is like a big thing because we talked about your cortisol levels, you know, starting in the morning being high and throughout the day, basically like weaning off and going down, down, down. And if you're doing, or if you're over-exercising in the middle of the day or towards the evening, you're just not causing that cortisol spike again. And if you're already dealing with that issue, it's going to be hard to bring it back down in time to fall asleep and relax and have that 15 minutes of your Epsom salt bath, all that stuff. So yeah, I think it's really important to focus on those things that all add up, like you said.
Yeah, when you think about it, there are so many different factors that contribute to PCOS women's adrenal issues, and they're all very common amongst like multiple, like all women with PCOS, it seems. This cutting calories, working out more, the nutrient deficiencies, not being able to absorb certain nutrients from foods, and then that affecting your adrenals as well as like the lack of addressing trauma and stress when you're first diagnosed with PCOS. Like I remember going to the gynecologist and not learning one single thing like about why I had PCOS and like how it was affecting my stress hormones. Like not one thing about like trauma, maybe you're working out too much, like none of these questions were asked. And it just takes so much digging to really like figure out what it is that's affecting you as, you know, as a woman with PCOS, but tools like your book are so helpful.
Yeah. And speaking of, we haven't said the name of your book. Could you say the title of your book and where people can find it?
Both of them.
Sure. So the newest book is The Adrenal Transformation Protocol. So it's a 4-week plan to go from surviving to thriving. And this is really for people who are struggling with like that brain fog and fatigue and trouble sleeping, excess weight. And this can be very, very helpful for restoring that healthy stress response in just 3 to 4 weeks. Amazing. And then thank you so much. And then my other books, I have a book called Hashimoto's Protocol. And this has a complete plan for reversing Hashimoto's in 90 days, where we focus, this is an older book, so it's about 5 years ago that it was published. And then Hashimoto's The Root Cause, and let me see if I could grab these. They're on my floor for, I was doing a photo shoot of them, but this is one of my older books, Hashimoto's Protocol. Nice. And then Hashimoto's The Root Cause is my first book. And it went into like all of the root causes and triggers for Hashimoto's, as well as giving people a bit of a plan on what to do.
That's amazing. I mean, if anybody needs any help with the Hashimoto's, I think they know exactly, like the trilogy of books is perfect right there. And would Amazon or like, is there a certain place you recommend people to order the books?
Amazon and Barnes & Noble are great places, and anywhere that books are sold. So your local bookstores will have the books too.
Perfect. Amazing. Awesome. Amazing. I'm just curious, have you done like an Audible?
Yes. So my newest book will be on Audible. So this is available. I know when I was on my healing journey, it's like, you don't have all the time in the world to like heal, right? And to read books. And so sometimes getting in your car and listening to an audiobook, like I used to work in pharmaceutical sales and I had to drive the whole day and I was stuck in traffic. And it was like, it was a source of stress for me, was like driving in the car, right? Or some people will find doing household chores is stressful. But if you could listen to an audiobook when you're driving and learn something, or while you're cleaning your house, like what a great way to like reduce stress, right? And then you don't have to focus on the traffic. You can just listen to the book and be like, I'm learning right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our favorite way to drive to LA and to Orange County, is just like put a podcast on and just listen, learn about something, or even like listen to something silly too, just to kind of like, you know, keep your mind off of things. So that's awesome. And do you have a website where people can find you as well?
Sure. It's thyroidpharmacist.com. And I have a guide, thyroidpharmacist.com/ABC, that goes through some of the ABCs of supporting your adrenals. So like adaptogens, B vitamins, vitamin C, and some of like the core stress reducing techniques, just like a short little guide for people.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll put all that in the podcast episode description for our listeners to reach with you and connect with you. And I think this is an amazing episode where I learned a lot. I'm sure Tanya, you learned a lot, but our listeners, I'm sure, learned a lot too as well.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Of course, our pleasure.
Hey, sisters, just wanted to let you know that all of our podcast episodes have corresponding blog posts that dive deeper into each topic. So head over to pcosweightloss.org/blog.
Is it slash or is it / blog?
I don't know.
I've always heard one or the other.
It's /.
Or slash? Just in case, you can also go to pcosweightloss.org.